In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up, everybody? We're back. It's another practice report live. We're going to have questions, all kinds of stuff, a little bit of intel from practice number, I think it's practice number 8 of fall camp. Camp Golish is winding down. I think classes start on Monday. So I think they'll be headed back to campus here in no time, but not anything super out there today as far as like anything crazy that happened at practice. We did not get a surprise period again, which was kind of a bummer, but we were told, hey, we don't know what's going to happen in period 2 and 3. It could happen again, so we're just going to play it safe, and we're not going to video any of those or, you know, take pictures in periods in 2 or 3. It was funny. After practice, they asked Vontrell. We got Vontrell and we got Hoodie after practice, and they asked him if he had any idea that that period was going to happen yesterday, and he's like, absolutely not. We had no idea. He said, that's when I was like, oh, you know what, because it was impromptu. We had no idea. And he said it was really good, though, because it really makes sure that everybody's on the same page so that you can get on the ball quick and get everybody out there that you need to get out there. And then, hey, you go play football, and it gives you extra snaps to go play football. So I want to take a look at my notes from today and go through a few things and then open it up for questions. There were a couple of guys that were being worked on that didn't practice fully today. Nekai Davenport was one. Jonathan Eccles was one. And Stanton Ramil was one. So Stanton was being worked on today. Yesterday, he was in on the touchdown pass. So he was in, and he was in on a lot of the one-on-one battles. I think there's a picture of him out there going one-on-one against Jared Smith. But when we were leaving, did notice him on a stationary bike, and then I think he spent I never saw him. I think Nate King from 247 Sports saw him in the training room being worked on basically the whole practice. So that could be something to pay attention to down the road. I will say that Hoodie was asked specifically about Stanton Ramil, and he went out of his way to say that he was healthy. He's going to be probably your starting right tackle. Nothing seemed super concerning. Like, there wasn't, even though, you know, Stanton was actually supposed to be there for media and he wasn't, even though he was in the training room, nothing seemed like super serious. So take that for whatever it's worth. I don't think there's, at least as of yet, anything to worry about. You know, when they break into defensive drills, I call this, you know, a pursuit drill, that they have different names for it, but basically they line up 11 as if it's a defensive formation, and then they all sprint to where the coaches say the ball is, and then they line up and they do it again. They do it multiple times, and there's been a lot of mixing and matching until today. It finally looked like it was closer to a starting 11. It looked like it was like the most close to probably who would be out there the first play of the game. And your starting defensive line was, no surprise, Jared Smith and Deshaun Womack on the ends. No surprise, Dallas Walker on the interior. Cody Sigler's also been dealing with a very, very minor injury, so he was not in there first. They had Darian Smith in there, which is interesting because, no, he's a little bit of a lighter interior defensive lineman, but they really like all the versatility that he brings. So that was your defensive line. Your linebackers were X and Melendez. No surprise, those guys 1-2 every single time. And then Andre Jordan's always been the consistent name on the, you know, one end And then it's been Gavin Jenkins. Today was the first time I've seen Rayshon Pleasant go in with the ones. Don't know if that's important or just interesting for this particular drill, but I know that, you know, I know that Rayshon wants to be more than just a return threat. And I know the dude's working hard, so good for him getting some looks there, you know, getting some looks there at corner with the ones. Your safeties, and I think your two safeties were Sylvester Smith, which I've seen him back deep a little bit more than I have been used to. Typically, he's been there at nickel, but I think it was Sylvester Smith-Reed, Eric Winters, and then Champ was at nickel. So take that for whatever you will. I can't go into too much detail about this from a formational standpoint or anything like that, but the offense was really working on red zone, was really working on like red zone situations. As a matter of fact, like everybody today was on the inside, like they didn't go outside. So if you've been following along with Village Vice and all the, you know, jokes, you know, Auburn's so soft now, they don't even practice in the heat anymore. I'm joking, tongue in cheek. Everybody was inside. So they were practicing on one end and they were doing a lot of red zone stuff. Some really, really cool formational things that they were working on. People lining up in different places. Again, I'm not going to go, and I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that spoils anything. So not going to go into too much detail, but they really focused a lot in the red zone. So that was kind of cool to watch, and you could see some really unique things that they can do, particularly some of those slot guys that I think will be could be fun to watch. Pretty deadly and tough to defend as well. When Stanton was out, he was out today all day. So Wilson Zierer was your starting right tackle. So Hoodie talked about how the goal from here on out is really building depth at tackle. They're trying hard to make sure they have the guys behind Joe Simmons and Stanton Ramil. You know, obviously Wilson's going to be one of those. A guy that had a tough practice today that I think they really want, and this is why it was tough on him. This is why they were tough on him, because they really want to find those guys that can play behind the starters, particularly at tackle. Parker Pritchett, there's a clip going around. I know people are talking about it. They're talking about it on the message board at thebarnauburn.com. He was given the business. He was not having the best day. I think most of it was effort and not really technique related. I think he just had some bad reps. And I'll say this, when you get something wrong a bunch, it can get in your head and it could affect other things. But I will say this, if they didn't care or didn't see that he was could be a big role player or big impact, then they would just wouldn't say anything. I think you mentioned Cole Skinner actually brought it up in his interview, talking about it and just how they're challenging these young guys. And what you hear is not just coaches calling guys to the carpet. You hear other players calling other players to the carpet. So not only accountability being, you know, holding guys accountability from the coaching standpoint, but players are holding guys accountable too. So really, really like that. Lance Dahl was there, and he said that Durkin was really went out of his way to praise, is it Michael Matthews Canty, number 51? I'll tell you this. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to play. I almost would say that he might be your fourth linebacker, even ahead of DeMarcus Riddick. So take that for whatever it's worth. I'm seeing some of his notes, if he has anything in particular that was different from me. No, I think that's pretty much it today. Like, there just really wasn't a ton that's not just repeating the exact same thing, you know, over and over again. So we can go ahead and jump into the questions. So make sure y'all fire them in, and we'll go as long as long as you guys want. This is one to start off with. No mention of Cale Ellis as a potential guard. So it seems like he may be locked into the backup center role. I'm okay with that. I think that's accurate. Haven't seen him a ton at guard. The biggest shakeup at guard as of late is Jacob Strand, the Oregon State transfer moving inside. Don't know if that's just an experiment thing, if he's outperforming Derek Plaz. Don't really know. They're just making sure they're leaving no stone unturned, particularly when it comes to those guard and tackle positions. But I think he's locked into center, and I think that's okay. I think he's the heir apparent. If he's patient, he'll be the guy moving forward after Cole Bess exhausts his eligibility after this season. Let's see. Let's keep going. This is funny. For Auburn grad dad, scene. Camp Golish end press conference. Joseph Not So Goodman asks, Coach, now at the end of fall camp, do you still have no goals? We have goals to be soft, Charmin soft. Those have been hilarious, by the way. I think my favorite one was the one about mild salsa. That was a really good one. And then I don't even know where to start. And we're talking about the Village Vice soft topic. They've been having a lot of fun with the Goodman article. It's been hilarious. You're asking a question for the group, but I'll answer it as well. Question for the group: percent chance that this coaching staff stays whole after the season? This is a really good question. I ask because I think they're building something here, and it would be a shame to have to backfill anyone. I would say, particularly on the defensive staff, it's probably pretty low, okay? And this doesn't have to be a bad thing. But think about this. You've got Coleman Hutzler, former defensive coordinator. You got Tim Banks, former defensive coordinator. You got DJ Durkin, who's in year three, that potentially could be in the running for some head coaching jobs. Who else do you have? I mean, you got a bunch of very, very talented guys. I'll tell you what, too, there's some assistant guys that are studs that you could be looking for, replacing. Offensive side of the ball, I think Cody's pretty attached to Golish. I think Hoodie's probably pretty attached to Golish. If they have a phenomenal year, could Joel Gordon get some looks at potentially being a head coach? Larry Porter, he's been around. He may be locked into being here for a while. I would say the chances are pretty low on the defensive side. Let's just go with that. I think the offensive side has a better chance of retaining everybody than the defensive side. So I would put the percent chance of this whole staff coming back as is fairly low percentage-wise, and it's not a bad thing. Marcus Wood says he doesn't believe any important coach goes anywhere. It just depends. What do you define as important? I mean, I'll tell you what, the NFL is like licking their chops to get Von Trell, like every single year. So I know he loves it here, but, those NFL jobs, there's only 32 of them. Those NFL defensive line jobs, there's only 32 of them. They're pretty cushy jobs. So I think everybody that wants to get one pretty much loves having it. So that would be one that could be one that could jump too. Let's see here. Depends on how well they do this year or on whether they stay together or not. It could if it's one of those things where you get a taste of it and you think you got a potential to maybe bring some guys back or hit the portal and there's some good pieces and you can, make another run. I could see some guys, wanting to hang around and see some things through, particularly DJ Durkin, because a lot of these guys that he brought in are going to be juniors next year, and they could have, you know, potentially be NFL picks after the fact. So, yeah, I could definitely see that. Me, dude, I'm ready to see Byram hit somebody, says Big Rob. Brother, I can't wait. It's going to make me nervous every time I see it because I'm afraid he's going to hurt himself because he is so violent. There's a clip going on, going around right now, and I guess this was at Media Days. Someone was asking Byram about that touchdown run against Boise where he literally seeked – is that the word? Is that the right word? Seeked out contact from the safety and lowered the shoulder on him. He's a tough runner, man. So I know he's going to want to lay – I think he's going to want to inflict pain. There, you're right, Auburn grad dad. That's what we talked about. I worry about him in the NFL as well. If I'm AG, I'm lining up two tight ends with a former quarterback catching a swing pass and tossing it back to Byram. Let's don't already get in trick plays. I am officially done with trick plays. The Hugh Freeze era has completely destroyed me of ever wanting to do another trick play ever. Let's just run QB power right down their throat and dare them to stop it. How about that? Does Golish do trick plays? That's a good question. They called a fake punt. Does that count? I remember they called a fake punt in the Boise game. I'm sure there's some like double pass stuff that they have. Everybody has some trick plays. I don't know if it's like a philosophy thing, though, to that you got to do one every game or whatever. See, what's up, Ant? Good to see you in here, man. Appreciate you. To follow up on the Kale comment, I was referring to what Hoodie said. Mentioned six guard. Yeah, none of them were Kale. Yeah, he's a center. Hoodie really praised he really praised Jacoby Ward. He's very, very high on Jacoby Ward. I've always been really high on Jacoby Ward eventually cracking into the lineup. He was really high on, obviously, Cole Skinner. I think he mentioned Cole Skinner first as potentially locking up one of those guard spots. How the receivers look. To me, they're getting better every practice. Bryce Kane made a gorgeous catch today on like a little fade route type thing, one-handed. Deshaun Spencer looked really good, made a couple pretty over-the-head, over-the-shoulder catches. Keyshawn Singleton is so physically impressive that it's just ridiculous. The kind of, you know, the way he runs out there, he looks like a linebacker running routes, but he's still fluid and bendy. They look good. Alabama fan, Bammer, said Auburn team should have stayed at a Hotel 6 instead of resort because it's too expensive. That's funny. I tell you what, they'd be tougher if they stayed at a Motel 6 instead of staying at a dang resort. People go on vacation there. You can't stay at a place that has social memberships. People pay monthly dues to hang at that place. And that's where we're doing camp. It's ridiculous. Something about VKW today made me nervous about the D-line. So many responses pointed to young, inexperienced guys, and we're working on it. But then Cole Skinner says he's going against the best defensive line in the USA. A lot of that is Von Trail, man. A lot of that, he's never really been a guy that's like, bro, let me tell you something. I got a bunch of studs back there, and we're about to go whoop some A. That's just not really his way that he talks to the media. And he's right about, he's not wrong about young and inexperienced. But young and inexperienced doesn't mean young and untalented. That's a bar. Write that down. young and inexperienced does not mean young and untalented. They're very, very talented. And I think he's got a lot of positional flexibility with guys like Malik Autry. Jordan Crawford was getting some run with the twos today. A lot of those young guys, I think, are going to end up being players. If we overachieve, we'll lose people, but it means we had a successful season. You're talking about coaches. Yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be some guys that could bolt, maybe get some, use this as like a resume type year if that were to happen. Rate my boog level on a scale of 1 to 100. I'll tell you what, when I left practice yesterday, After that 70-yard touchdown pass, my boog was at like 250. It was up there. I'm still pretty high. It's hard for me to come off the boog. Like my boog level is always typically pretty high. Let's keep going, man. See a lot of people saying 101s. They're in their 101s. Shout out to, by the way, today they had a VIP day. A lot of VIP folks at practice. And like at least three people in attendance were Big Barn folks. They love watching the show. One family drove all the way down from Gunnersville to watch practice, and they were turning around and headed back. They said hello. A couple of guys I've met out at the Auburn University Club said hello today. So shout out to everybody. Thank y'all for saying hello. That was really cool. Really cool to see. They're selling those things out, by the way, too. It's like 50 folks. They go to practice for the same window we do, and then they get to tour the weight room and, you know, stuff like that. That's a really smart idea. War Tide Podcast says, definitely going to lose some guys. I'm just worried on our timeline with DJ. I never want him to leave. I'm with you, man. Surely he's going to get a head coaching offer at some point in time. Like, it just feels like it has to happen. He's just been done such remarkable things. I know he's got the brand new house he just built. It feels like that could be a bit of a problem to unload because it's a monster, you know, that may make him want to hang around for a little bit. But that guy's going to be a head coach. He's going to be a head coach again, and I think he's going to be really, really good. I want to give Matthew Smith credit. He is beating this drum. Cody Sigler equals the next Derrick Brown, which is lofty expectations because Derrick Brown may be like a top five all-time Auburn defender. I will say Cody Sigler is a mauler. He's unblockable, and he's going to be their bell cow if he stays healthy on that defensive line. So I get it, but dude, that's up there. I'll tell you what, if Cody Sigler is 60% as good as Derrick Brown, Auburn's defense is going to be pretty dang good. Pretty dang good. I watched that Boise hit 100 times. I'm with you. I rewind it and watch it over and over again of that touchdown. He had another one in that game too, where it was like a scramble drill out to the right, and he kind of submarined a guy, really like seeked out the contact. Yeah, John Pine, he just moved. I mean, he probably just moved in not long ago. Big old house. And this could be one of those neighborhoods that like, It's one of those neighborhoods that like people are buying houses and tearing them down and building really, really big houses. But it hadn't quite all the way got that done yet. So I think it would be maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't be a tough sell right now because there's some beautiful houses around him. But it's just not in a, you know, $3 million house neighborhood right now. It'll get there, though, I think eventually. Yeah, I would hate to know I built that big thing and then had to sell it. That'd be tough. But coaches don't think like that. It's all about, you know, the next step or where I want to go in my career. I know his family loves it here, though, so that's going to make it tough. I want Byram to hit someone like Sean Shivers. I want to see helmets popping, baby. Helmets flying. I'm with you. Baylor game can't get here fast enough. I know. Dude, it just feels like these – it feels like the year flew by until right now, and it's just kind of dragging. Jacob Jay's clarifying it. Finished the building up in spring. I think you're right. Pop. Only problem is many ex-coaches have houses in Auburn. That's so true. There's a bunch of them walking around here. Has the wide receiver depth changed since yesterday, or was that something y'all got to see? Nah, it looks pretty much the same. Chaz is the guy they're moving all over the place, and like where he lines up depends on how the rest of the depth chart shakes out. I did see Christian Neptune going before Deshaun Spencer today a few times in the slot. I continue to think that he's going to be a huge weapon this year in this offense. So, I don't know. Maybe that was significant. Could be one of those interesting versus important type things. Excuse me. She says, heard some Alvin and Kane love from the special teams coach. Good. I missed him. I had to run. But that's good. That's good stuff to hear. Charmin Tigers. That's an NIL deal right there. Charmin Soft. let's see. Throwback to the Motel 6 joke. Might not get out alive at a Motel 6. The more I watch USF tape and see more screens, I think Spencer will have a huge role this year. That's a good point. And I would say in that live period, he probably had at least two catches. I don't want to say they were screens per se, but quick passes to, you know, get him in space and let him go make plays. What would surprise you more, Byram being benched by week 6 or Byram winning the Heisman? Being invited to New York. Byram being benched by week 6, and it ain't even close, would be more surprising than the latter. I am a full-on believer in Byram Brown. Is Sigler better than Fairley? You talking about like the first-round draft pick? Good? I don't know if he's that good. He doesn't have the measurables, I think, to be a first-round pick, but he could – and shoot, Fairley had like 10 sacks that year from the interior, which is wild. I don't think he's going to have 10 sacks. I don't think he's going to be asked to have 10 sacks. Those are lofty. That's pretty lofty. I would lean towards no, but that's not a bad thing. Let's see. Hat is flattened and buttoned. The barn's on fire. Dadgum right. Our Auburn University Club finally got Imperial visors. I bought every color yesterday, so y'all may see different color visors every single show. Ooh, good question. Which group has more sacks this year, defensive line or linebackers? I want to pull up last year's stats really quick. Give me a second. Let's go to sacks last year. Okay, so Auburn had 30 total sacks last year. And it looks like 13 of the 30 came from linebackers. 2 came from the safety, so that's 15 out of 30. So half of them came from non-defensive line players. So I'm going to go with a defensive line. I think a singular linebacker could lead in amount of sacks. I think ultimately the defensive line as a group, interior and edge guys, lead. Brent Salter, were you there, buddy? They even gave y'all VIP lanyards. Yeah, at the visitors. They had the cool little necklaces and everything. He is paid really well. He does seem to love it here. And he stayed when he could have left. And I would say, yeah, you mentioned it, after he got passed by their job and maybe even felt like he was led to believe it was his, and he still stayed. Those are all great points. Locked On Baylor said they have the advantage on the D-line over our offensive line. They say they're worried about – they say we are worried about our offensive line. What about last year? I mean, how much different is their defensive line than it was last year, and their defensive line just got completely bamboozled, completely dominated by a team that won five games? I can't take anything they say serious. Do you think we'll have a wide receiver finish the season with stats to what was expected by Coleman while he was at Auburn? Okay, that's a tough question. How about I answer it this way? We will have a wide receiver that has better numbers than Cam Coleman had at Auburn last year. Now, pretty low bar. He had 708, not, never mind, that's pretty good, 708 yards and five touchdowns. I think Auburn will have at least one receiver, if not two, exceed that. C5 saved DJ a lot of money on his new house. Hashtag KW Realtor. I was not DJ's real estate agent. I wish, but I was not. I'm excited to see Champ put a big hit on someone again. He's ready. Cheese, I agree. He is ready. Neptune's potential is out of this world. Nice one, Daniel. I see what you did there. So does Jay Con Lax 28. He sees what you did there. Or she. I hope we have good tight ends in both run blocking and pass catching this year. Got a lot of options, man. Got a lot of options. We got Mison, Johnson, Cook, and Mabson next year. If Cobb comes back, that could be lethal. I'm curious to see what Cobb decides to do. He could have a bust out year though, and it makes sense to go into the draft. But like, running backs just aren't valued that high. Mr. Five, how are you? Was the secondary getting torched again? It's funny. didn't see any ones on ones today. Let's see here. Talking about Spencer, I think I saw this pop up, but I haven't watched it. The film guy, which is Brooks Austin, potentially is his name, just posted a video talking about Byron Brown and referenced the guy who Spencer would be replacing. Kept mentioning that slot motion guy is designed to get the ball. Yeah, that's why in spring a lot of that was Chaz Nimrod. They want to get the ball in his hands. I want to see Byron Brown run over somebody like Ronnie Brown ran over Jason Allen for Tennessee in 2004. You talking about that right there, that picture behind me? Me too, man. Imagine Auburn goes on a run. We're 9-2 going into the Iron Bowl, and we hire Gus, the Bama killer, as an analyst, and we beat Alabama 56-3. Very specific score there, and I think you write the movie script if that's the case. That is a movie script right there. Semi-hot take. I think this defense will be better than it was last year, and Jared leads the team in sacks. Jared leading the team in sacks is not a hot take. I think I could see that happening. And, you know, I don't think it's like a super far reach to think this defense could be as good as last year, be better. I think it would be tough, but who knows? If you have an offense that can support you a little bit, it may make it easier to, you know, want to take a gamble and potentially create some more turnovers. I'm with you, buddy. I like where your head's at. How much different does this whole team look compared to last year with them being one team instead of two units? Okay. I think I understand what you're asking here. It looks like one football team. I think that may be the simplest way to say it. It looks like one football team. Looks like one unit. If you watch the way the defensive side interacts with each other, and you watch this offensive side, the way they interact with one another, and you watch the way that the coaches interact with the players, coaches from different position groups hyping up different position groups, like, it looks like one football team. That sounds so simple, but it's if you've watched Auburn football any recently, you know where I'm going with that. Let's see here. I don't know what this is in reference to, but it's something's almost as dumb as the Arkansas fan you saw on TikTok saying they were winning 9 games. That'd be pretty shocking. Cam Stewart was very confident last year, and we were awful. Circus, says J-Con Lax 28. What happens when you have an actual coach who knows what's going on? Exactly. Exactly. Hear me out. Champ versus Byram at the goal line. Who stops the other? I think the goalposts could stop Byram Brown, and that's it in this scenario. Love Champ to death, by the way. I don't see that battle faring very well. You're talking about 235 pounds versus like 200 pounds. Notice when the D-line practices, they all wear knee braces. Yeah, they do that with the defensive line and the offensive line for the most part. How many games do we see Tia in? I say 4, excluding Byron Brown's helmet coming off, etc. That's a really good point. You could see him in way more if that's the case, if Byron has to come out for a play. I feel like you see him at least 3 for sure. Southern Miss, hopefully. Samford, and who's the other one? Oh, I guess that's it. That's the only 2 like gimme games you get. There's not 3 anymore. So there's not any really pushover home games other than Arkansas. Maybe Vanderbilt, if Vanderbilt goes back to who we think they are. I think 4 is a pretty good number. I think 4 is a pretty good number. Talk about the plank drill with Ellis beating Best. Is that surprising? I didn't see this, so I don't know the context around that. Did Bryson get more looks today? Is he finally playing shape? It's really hard to say. Davenport was out, so he was going 3rd a lot. Davenport was he's been dinged up. He just got dinged up recently, I guess, so he's being worked on. I want to go watch this. The film guy, he teased breaking this down. I haven't seen it. Hot take, Cole Best will win the Outland Trophy and the Remington Award. That would be epic. That would be epic. Did moving away from gospel music during practice help? Hey, I love some praise and worship. Don't get me wrong. Love it. And when I get in my car to leave from practice, I got some P&W on. Okay. Something about It's Going Down or Inner Sandman or Pantera blaring just gets me fired up to want to go put some strap it up and get out there and bang heads. You know what I mean? That just feels like more football. Partner fire block on socials forever. I'm not answering that. Not answering that at all. 'Cause I'm partners with 2 of them already. I don't think there's an Auburn fan in the world that's higher on Tia than me. Hey, probably, I mean, there's a lot of folks that are very, very high on Tia. That spring game opened a lot of people's eyes. This is a big season for him, because, I mean, this could define or this could determine whether or not he's the guy next year, or you have to maybe dip into the portal again. Wish there was some more good updates. Tomorrow we're going to have the scrimmage, and there's a press conference after. I'm debating on whether or not to go live after that. We'll talk about that when it gets here. I'll let y'all know tomorrow. Kind of depends on if we might have some secret eyeballs potentially in the on the scrimmage, other than just reacting to what Goler says. Guys, thank y'all for joining. These have been a lot of fun. Love talking about practice. Great questions, great interactions. We'll be back again really, really soon. Stay buttoned, dadgummit.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.